Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30, and chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts, the 11th and 13th chapters. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On the feast of St. Barnabas, our story doubles back a bit from yesterday. We recall that Stephen, the first martyr after our Lord's ascension, was killed as Saul looked on approvingly. Saul then carried the mantle of persecution forward in Jerusalem at the beginning of Acts chapter 8, scattering the disciples throughout Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles who remained in Jerusalem. Part of that scattering was Philip in Samaria, whose preaching and baptizing foreshadowed the outward manifestation of the Spirit from the apostles, yesterday's account. You see, this is the first expression beyond the Jews in Jerusalem and the pilgrims at Pentecost, out to the half-Jews, as it were, in Samaria. This fulfilling what Jesus said, that they were to be his witnesses beginning from Jerusalem, then into Judea up to the south, and up through Samaria and Galilee to the north. And this church was strengthened then further by the conversion of Saul. And then, as the three-year lectionary heard a few Sundays ago, Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius, and then he came back and reported to the church in Jerusalem about the faith and the baptism and the Holy Spirit's manifestation also to those first Gentile believers. This is the beginning of the final expansion out to the whole world, one that still had a lot of working out to do in practice, but which Peter himself would again confirm with his excellent words at the Jerusalem Council, what they said in the verse before our text today. God has granted repentance that leads to life also to the Gentiles. And Peter would say that Jews will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as the Gentiles will. Of this expansion, the believers that were scattered way back in chapter 8 had no knowledge. They had traveled north to Phoenicia and to Antioch, a city up the Mediterranean coast right in the corner, also to Cyprus, that large island off the coast. And when it says that they spoke the word to no one except Jews, this implies that they were speaking to those stricter Jews who were still living as Jews, making use of their language. So then in the next verse, when it says that a few of them went and spoke to the Hellenists, it means that they spoke to Greek-speaking and Greek-acculturated Jews. Like the apostles who followed up on Philip's work yesterday, Barnabas is the one who is sent up from Jerusalem to follow up in Antioch. Barnabas himself was from the island off the coast, Cyprus, that's mentioned, from the tribe of Levi. And he showed his usefulness to us already earlier in the Acts of the Apostles when he vouched for Saul in Jerusalem. His visitation then to Antioch also shows us the criterion that Barnabas had such a keen eye for as he visited believers all over that part of the world. Grace. Grace is the undeserved kindness of God toward sinners. We should not be hard on the apostles and the believers in Jerusalem for fearing Saul, for needing Barnabas to come and vouch for him. Not everyone who wants to join a group does it for noble purposes. Consider Simon Magus from Samaria in yesterday's text. Some infiltrate with evil intent to destroy. Others come in for something that they believe in and hold, but still holding something of their past. And they maybe would want to warp a congregation or a church after their own will, rather than, as our text says, to be added to the Lord and to be added to their number. And it is for this reason that our baptismal rites and our membership and confirmation services still include all of the old questions. Do you renounce something also? Yes, you believe something. Do you also renounce what is former about your life? Do you recognize that becoming a Christian means abandoning many former ways and thoughts? Do you confess that you are, and that particularly you were, a sinner, and that you wish to change, even though, of course, you cannot erase or undo what you have done in the past, and you cannot overcome it, but rather you must repent of it. Rather, you must see that you are undeserving of this church and this life. But of course, this is what the Lord's grace does and overcomes. It's only for the undeserving. Saul, or Paul, of all people, knows this. He speaks so plainly about it to his church in his letters. But by God's grace, and not by my own wisdom or cleverness or worthiness, by God's undeserved kind action and disposition, he says, I am now what I am. I am what he has declared me. Everything former about me I consider like rubbish. I am absolved now. I am renewed in Christ. I am, like Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit who has come to me. The Hellenists too, then, undeservingly, but by the grace of God, are granted repentance that leads to life. And to this, Barnabas urges them to remain faithful with steadfast purpose, a fine urging for us too. Barnabas knows just the man, in fact, who can help him to keep such people steadfast in the undeserved kindness of God. It's Paul. Saul, who was not very far away in Tarsus, his hometown, just a little bit farther north. Later in chapter 13, the second half of our text, they are set apart by the rest of the church for the first great missionary journey to those Gentiles, even farther beyond, beginning at Barnabas' home island in Cyprus. Now, all this today may seem like a lot of history and geography for a sermon in the wake of a big feast like Pentecost, all about the Holy Spirit. The spiritual comments in today's reading are brief. The content of Paul's speeches for a whole year and Barnabas's sermons for a whole year, these are hardly given to us. We know mostly about what Barnabas did only in a supporting role. His name is mentioned very frequently in Acts, but not with any of the great insights or the teachings of Peter and Paul in their epistles. But dear saints, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Acts of the Apostles. By that I mean both he is the author of their actions and of this account of them. Why should we, whose towns and names are not mentioned in the Bible, and yet who have received grace undeservedly, despise the Holy Spirit for memorializing his work here in Acts? He's also the author of all these significant but commonplace phrases that we use hardly with thinking about them. Things like that we speak the word to one another, and you know which word that means. That we preach the Lord Jesus, and we know all that lies behind that name. That the hand of the Lord was with them. That they believed and were turned to the Lord. And that they sent relief to the brothers and set apart for me these men for the work to which I have called them. This is the very same Spirit that we celebrated on Sunday at Pentecost, the one who was foretold by Christ, the one who takes the things of Jesus and delivers them to you. The things of Jesus are chiefly his grace and his favor, his kindness, which is entirely undeserved and has come even to us and is still powerful to grant us and others who would be added to him and to our number, repentance that leads out of death and into life. And by his servant Barnabas and by many other less famous but equally supportive saints, God grant that the Spirit continue to make the grace of God in Christ the reason that we bear the name that was first used today in Antioch, Christian. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.